Up next, the cure to loneliness on Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.
I often say that loneliness of service is a great opportunity to pour your heart out to the Lord, to exercise faith in the guidance of the Savior. I'm absolutely convinced that occupying a place of service cannot be truly effective without faith. Hebrews 11:6 said, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Faith is the secret to answer prayers. The servant of God without faith is like a car without an engine.
Welcome to Leading the Way with pastor and international Bible teacher, Dr. Michael Youssef, author of more than 50 spiritually encouraging books. Learn how to order his most recent, Winning the Invisible War, at ltw.org. Now, coming up next, Dr. Youssef continues his audio series, The Cure to Loneliness, looking at the loneliness experienced by those who serve God passionately and when you allow self-pity to get a grip in your life. Will you listen with me now as Dr. Michael Youssef begins today's teaching time?
In the last message, we looked at the loneliness of sin as was manifested in Cain. And then we saw the loneliness of suffering as it was manifested in the life of Job. Today, we're going to look at this loneliness of service, which is really going to focus on Moses, because you see it more clearly in Moses than anybody else in the life of Moses. In the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 11, it's very easy to remember, Numbers 11, 11. We see dear old Moses just about had it. I mean, he had it with the complaining and the murmuring and the criticizing. And so he yells to God. Here's what he said, Numbers 11, 11. Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Now, you have to admit, this poor guy, I mean, you can tell it just in this one verse that he's ticked off, right? Oh, all in a very spiritual way, of course. Of course. Yeah, don't miss that. He just about had enough. And he, as we say, was at the end of his rope. Now, remember this. This motley crew have been slaves in Egypt, in the bondage of Egypt, for 400 years. And now they're experiencing freedom and they don't know how to handle it. Just remember that, because sometimes we forget that. Moses was serving God by serving this motley crew who often forgot. And you see it again and again in the scripture. They often forgot the whips on their backs by the taskmasters in Egypt. They often forget about it. And they're always talking about the good old days. And when we ate the garlic, and we ate meat, and we ate all the good stuff. What about the whips on your back? Oh, that's forgotten. Please hear me right. Hear me right. Serving in any capacity is never easy. It's never easy. And often leads to times of loneliness. In fact, the statistics about the burnout and the quitting on the part of pastors here, just in the United States, is so depressing, I'm not going to get into it. Listen to me. There can be no doubt that all of those servants of God, in any capacity, they go through heartache. You know this. The child who becomes a prodigal, even though you have done everything humanly possible to introduce him to the Lord. The member of the Sunday school class or a small group who was very active but now not walking in the light anymore. Or even the staff member in your company that you have done so much for, that you've encouraged, that you helped along the way, and then he betrays you and go work with the competition. The church member who sat under the Word of God year after year after year, now in the wilderness of doubt and doubting the Word of God. All of that breaks the heart of the person who's serving. I know that, and you know that. It's all part of that loneliness of service. But Moses also given us an example of what to do. He's given us an example of what to do in those moments of heartache, in those moments of loneliness of service. He went out and he poured his heart to the Lord. Don't ever hesitate to just say everything you're thinking to the Lord. Don't let anybody else hear you. Tell God how you feel. Tell God what you need. Tell God what you need Him to bring about. But then, once you pour your heart out to Him, until you literally have no more energy, be ready to listen to what He says. More importantly, be willing to obey the direction in which He takes you. Amen. I often say that loneliness of service is a great opportunity to pour your heart out to the Lord, to be alone with God, to exercise faith in the guidance of the Savior, to claim the wisdom of God and then follow it. I'm absolutely convinced that occupying a place of service, any service, cannot be truly effective without faith. It cannot. Hebrews 11:6 said, without faith, it is impossible. Not maybe, but it is impossible to please the Lord. Faith is the secret to answer prayers. Faith can move mountains. The servant of God without faith is like a car without an engine. Verse 14, Moses said, I'm unable. You know what I want to say? Praise God. Praise God. When I'm unable, I praise God. I bless God. You know why? Because His name is I am able. I am able. Oh, beloved, listen to me. In times of loneliness of service, remember that the one who called you will enable you. The one who called you will equip you. The one who called you will encourage you. The one who called you will not abandon you. Yes, there is a loneliness in service, but also there is an unprecedented blessing. Unprecedented blessing. When you seek the glory of God above everything else in life, everything else in life, if you seek His glory first. So much for the loneliness of service. Well, I get to, secondly, the loneliness of self-pity. The loneliness of self-pity. I could write a book on that. Wait a minute. I did write a book on that. Entitled, If God is in Control, Why is My Life Such a Mess? Now I want you to turn with me, please, to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19. Now, I want to give you a background to this chapter. Is Elijah, the prophet of God, was used of God supernaturally like very few people. God chose him to do God-sized miracles. He single-handedly destroyed the priests of Baal that have infected Israel with the sin of idolatry. On Mount Carmel, he calls on fire from heaven after the prophets of Baal were piercing themselves and calling upon Baal, and Baal could not hear them, which was understood. But then he comes in and starts praying. He pours water on the wood. He makes it impossible for himself. But when he called upon fire from heaven, fire came down, licked everything in sight, including the water. Thousands of people standing on that mountain, absolutely flabbergasted by that incredible sight. And after all of these victories, he runs away in defeat, experiencing the loneliness of self-pity. The loneliness of self-pity. Actually, I'm told that there are millions of people who suffer from depression as a result from the loneliness of self-pity, otherwise known as victimhood. Let me tell you, at the outset, self-pity is a poison because it can be followed and often followed by a whole lot of other worse problems. Look at verse 1, 1 Kings 19, right after that great victory on Mount Carmel, okay? Verse 1. Now King Ahab, by the way, he was first-class wimp, in case you don't know the character. King Ahab told Queen Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he killed all of the prophets of Baal with the sword. These are all the prophets of Baal she brought from Lebanon because she was Lebanese, not Jewish. And so Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, listen carefully, may the gods, in the plural, may the gods deal with me ever so severely if by this time tomorrow I don't make you like one of them. She's talking about the prophets of Baal that he killed, that Elijah is going to be dead in 24 hours. Look at the next verse. Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant behind. Now, by the way, that's mistake number two. Mistake number one, he ran. Because when you run away from God's call, you're running away from God's blessing. Mistake number two, he insulated himself by leaving his servant there by Beersheba while he continued in the journey in the desert. And he came to a broom tree and sat under it and he prayed that he might die. Now let me give you a few things to think about, and if you're able to write them down. I really believe with all my heart, the Lord will use this to bless you. Several things about this victimhood which we are plagued with in this culture. Everybody's a victim. Everybody's a victim now. I'm a victim of this and I'm a victim of that. First of all, I want to tell you that self-pity robs you of perspective. Elijah had just cleaned house. I mean, really cleansed the nation of the prophets of the satanic cult called Baal. And yet, look at the perspective. I mean, he stood up on hundreds and hundreds of men, but one woman, albeit she's the queen, and she was known as an evil queen, got him running. He lost perspective. And when you lose perspective, you exaggerate the situation. Secondly, self-pity will rob you of patience. Will rob you of patience. Because we become more impulsive and refuse to wait upon the Lord. When Elijah ran away in self-pity, he did not only experience crushing loneliness of self-pity, but he ended up running away from the blessing of God, the covering of the blessing of God. Before that, if you read the passages before it, you'll see again and again and again it says, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And so what did Elijah do? He said, yes, sir. He obeyed repeatedly. Elijah obeyed. But now, he didn't wait for the Lord. He didn't want to hear from the Lord. He sits under this broom tree and says, oh, poor me, poor me. I'm a victim. I'm done for. Self-pity or victimhood not only rob you of perspective, not only rob you of patience, but it can rob you of companionship. And that is why it leads to a terrible loneliness. When you are in this poor me mode, you isolate yourself and you insulate yourself from the family of God. For one thing, nobody wants to listen to you. Elijah, as I pointed out, left his servant in Beersheba. The very time he needed the companionship. He left him in Beersheba and he walked for a day all alone in the desert, all the way to Mount Horeb. Here, actually, more than ever, Elijah needed others. The last thing he needed is to be isolated and insulated. Don't ever forget that Elijah could pray and God answers. Elijah could pray and things happen. He prayed to rain. It rained. He prayed to stop raining. It stopped raining. Listen, it is so incredible when you think about it, because even James, the half-brother of Jesus, which tells us in chapter 5, verse 17, that Elijah was a man like us, flesh and blood. But when he prayed, God answered. This is a great encouragement to me. It really is. Oh, beloved, listen, self-pity robs us of perspective, robs us from patience, robs us of companionship, but self-pity also robs us of purpose. Robs us of purpose. God gave Elijah a wonderful purpose for life, purpose for living. He asked him to clean house, reform Israel, defeat the enemies of God, restore the worship of Yahweh back to Israel. Elijah was called for a divine purpose. But self-pity is now getting him to throw in the towel and say, it's over. I'm done for. Just think with me, okay? Elijah sat under the broom tree and said, yeah, I don't want to die. I'm not better than my ancestors. Just take me. Suppose God answered his prayer. What would have happened? Think of how much he would have missed out on after this event. I mean, fulfilling of God's purpose for his life, and then the opportunity to bring a successor in Elisha and train him to succeed him. But more important than any of this, more importantly, you know what he would have missed out on? Chariot ride to heaven. He would go, shoo, and was taken there. He and Enoch, only two people. I love it if the Lord does that to me right now. Just phew, take me to heaven. It's an incredible privilege to be only one of two people in history. He would have missed out on that. He would have missed out on it. Oh, please know that I'm aware that there are other reasons for self-pity. I'm aware of that. There are lots of reasons. It could be physical exhaustion, as it was in the case of Elijah. It really was. I mean, the guy had an incredible day on Mount Carmel, and then he ran. I don't care if he was a triathlete. I mean, he ran for a long time. He was absolutely physically exhausted, or could be emotional exhaustion. After a huge, successful ministry experience on Mount Carmel, he was emotionally wrung out. And thank God he knows that. Or we could be spiritually wrung out, spiritually exhausted. After a great act of faith, after a great ministry and walking in the Spirit, all of a sudden, walking by sight. And don't know why. You don't know why. Elijah thought that he was the only one who's faithful to the Lord. Everybody else is gone. I mean, look, I'm the only one. He lost sight of the fact that there's 7,000 knees that have not bowed down to Baal. Let me tell you this as I conclude. The only cure for the loneliness of self-pity is this. Listen carefully. Again, if you're writing, write them down. First of all, literally, physically, shake yourself up. Go ahead and do that. Shake yourself up, literally. Secondly, remind yourself of the great things that God has done in the past. Above all, look to the Lord. Look to Him. The one who showed up in the past, He's going to show up again. And He will show up and He will minister to you when you ask Him. He will show up. Oh, He will show up. Oh, but listen to me. He may not show up the way you want Him to show up, or the way you anticipate Him to show up. But He's going to show up. You see it right here. It happened right here. Look at the passage, right? Mount Horeb. God did not appear the way Elijah expected Him. He did not show up in the wind. He did not show up in the earthquake. He did not show up when the mountain shook. He did not show up in the fire. Ah, but He showed up in a small voice. A small voice. Don't let the loneliness of self-pity make you miss out on God's small voice. The gentle whisper. The quiet voice that comes out of His Word as you slowly take your time reading it, comprehending it, and willing to obey it. You will hear that voice, I promise you. If you rush through your Bible, you won't get a chance to hear that quiet voice. Listen, I am the last one to tell you that waiting upon the Lord is easy, because I'll be lying to you. I'm the last one to tell you it's easy. It's not easy. Oh, but I can testify to God that I have experienced Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who wait upon the Lord shall, they what? They shall, can you say shall with me?
Shall.
They shall renew their strength. They shall, can you say shall?
Shall.
Mount up on wings of eagle and shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint. Praise God. Praise God. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And He, what? Shall. He, what?
Shall.
Strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord.
Thank you for listening to just one part of a teaching series from Dr. Michael Youssef, The Cure to Loneliness. Join him next time when he continues this life-changing series on Leading the Way Audio. Find and enjoy this and other content from Dr. Youssef at ltw.org or use the updated Leading the Way app. You know, when you're listening to content from Dr. Youssef at ltw.org, take a moment to click on the mission link right there near the top. You'll quickly realize that Leading the Way is much more than audio programs and podcasts, but it's a ministry that, because of your help, is influencing the world with the gospel. Check out the mission, international impact, events, field team ministry, and ways that you can be a part of the Open Door Campaign. The Open Door Campaign is a ministry initiative focusing on facilitating and growing gospel reach in three strategic regions of the world while the doors are still open. These three areas include North America, where a biblical worldview is shrinking and quickly disappearing. Leading the Way is leveraging media and church partnerships to reach the lost and spark revival. The Middle East, which is still one of the least evangelized regions on earth, and Leading the Way is reaching this restricted area with the gospel, discipling new believers, encouraging the underground church. And the third area, remote villages of the world. Leading the Way is using technology previously unavailable to deliver the Word of God and biblical teaching to those who have not heard. Here's that website again, ltw.org. You can also call to learn more about the Open Door Campaign at 866 877-626-4356. This program is furnished by Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.